Brothers and sisters, in today's gospel, we heard what may very well be the most famous parable that Jesus ever told, the story of the prodigal son. 2,000 years after this parable was told for the first time, we're still captivated by this parable that speaks of God's divine mercy and two responses to God's divine mercy, that of the sinner and that of the self-righteous. From the very beginning of this gospel passage, we see tax collectors and sinners coming to Jesus, and the self-righteous Pharisees begin complaining that Jesus is spending time eating with sinners. And Jesus takes this opportunity to address both groups. The younger son in this parable, of course, represents the sinner. He goes to his father and demands his inheritance. Give me the share of your estate that should come to me. How self-centered is this? But isn't that what sin does to us? St. Augustine defines sin as the turning in upon the self. The younger son, in demanding his inheritance, is turning in on himself. He's essentially saying to his father, you're as good as dead to me. After all, an inheritance is not received until after the person dies. Now, how often are we like this? How often do we want to receive gifts, even gifts from God, without entering into any kind of relationship? You see, relationships, they require work. They put parameters on our lives. They demand that we give of ourselves. No thanks, says the sinner. I'm going to take the easy route, the get-rich-quick route. Just give me my inheritance. The father, seemingly oblivious to the younger son's insult, does something quite strange, and he gives the inheritance to his son. The younger son takes his gifts and runs off to a distant country. Now here the Greek doesn't quite match up with the English. The Greek word makros is used to mark an extension of space. It conveys a notion that the son went off into a remote or empty space. Now, isn't that exactly what we do when we sin? We go to an empty space to avoid. We move ourselves away from God. That's what sin does. Well, like most sin, it seems fun at first. The younger son is living the high life. But then reality comes crushing in on him. A famine hits the land. Now again, listen to this language. Sin, while fun at first, creates a famine in our lives. And oftentimes we will fill that famine with new sin. But eventually, we realize that there's nothing left to satiate our hunger, and we hit rock bottom. People who have overcome addictions often speak of this experience. And that's exactly what happens to the younger son. So he hires himself out to others. But this didn't fulfill him either. Now, Jesus is making a very important anthropological point here. We won't find fulfillment in other people. And more often than not, if we try to do this, we'll find ourselves slaves to others, and we'll see our dignity insulted. For a Jew, having to feed swine was nothing short of an insult. Finally, Jesus tells us, the younger son comes to his senses. He decides to return home. He knows he has sinned against his father, and he knows he will need to seek forgiveness. He also knows that he's not worthy of that forgiveness, having more or less told his father that he was as good as dead to him. But nonetheless, he returns home. The same is true in our spiritual lives. When we truly realize our own sinfulness, we recognize that we need to turn back to God and to ask him to take us back, even if only as lowly servants. We recognize that we are not worthy of God's forgiveness. We didn't do anything to merit God's forgiveness. Yet we know, too, that we have no other choice but to return to God, as we will only find fulfillment in Him. Fortunately, God's perspective is different than our own. God is infinite love. He doesn't want to be parted from His creation. God wants to be in union, in relationship with us. He made us for relationship with Himself, and He wants to see that end fulfilled. He does this not for His own benefit, but for our benefit. Now let's look and see what happens. The Son is preparing to return. He wants to be in relationship with His Father, and yet He knows that His actions have pretty much made that impossible. He has a speech prepared in which He fully admits that He has sinned against His Father. The Father does yet another shocking thing. He runs out from the distance to greet His Son. And the Son begins His prepared speech, and the Father doesn't even let Him get it out. Instead, the Father begins the reconciliation process. He restores the younger son's dignity, giving him a robe, sandals, and a ring. The Father does not respond with wrath, but with love. Now, this is an important spiritual insight. When someone is truly converted, when they've truly repented from their sinful life, what they experience is not divine wrath, but divine love. Wrath occurs when we resist God's love. Wrath is what was experienced by the Son when He was feeding the pigs. But upon repenting, what we experience is divine mercy. For us Catholics, this is what we experience in the sacrament of penance. Going to confession is our way of saying, I want to leave my sinful past. I want to return to the Father. The Father is there waiting for His Son to return to Him. In the sacrament, God's mercy is there waiting to be received. All we have to do is leave our void and ask for it. It's that easy. In fact, it's so easy that it often bothers people. The older son in this parable represents the self-righteous who are bothered by divine mercy. I've never disobeyed you, and you never treated me like you treat this son of yours. What an attitude, huh? But then again, how often do we do this? I think if we're honest, we too have had this reaction. It seems so unfair, doesn't it, that people who live a life of debauchery, who lie, who cheat, who steal, etc., can repent and be given this type of treatment. And we, who have never done anything like that, are treated no better. But look closer at this attitude. Like the younger son, this attitude too is a turning in on the self. It's not about truly loving the Father. No, it's about me. Slaving for the purpose of being self-righteous is no better than being a sinner like the younger son or the tax collectors. Both need to stop turning in on themselves. They need to be drawn out of themselves and into relationship with God, not for their own sake, but for the sake of God. St. Bernard of Clairvaux tells us that the highest form of love is to love not for our sake or for the sake of another, but for the sake of God, who is love. The older son's mistake is that his relationship with the Father was not based on love, but on what was in it for him. If I follow your rules, then I'll get what I want. I'll follow your rules, but only in order to get some reward. The Father's laws, God's laws, are not meant to be followed for our own sake, so that we can get something in some type of a tit-for-tat relationship. They're meant to be followed for God's sake. Our motivation should not be what's in it for me, but my profound love for God. Our word for this week, our Lenten word for the week, is responsibility. The ability to respond to God. As we continue our Lenten journey, let us repent from the ways we have turned in on ourselves and seek the Father's forgiveness. Let us respond to God by asking for forgiveness, perhaps even in the sacrament of penance. Let us strive to enter into relationship with God, following his commands, not for our sake, but for the sake of God, who is love. This is our responsibility. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who love God for his own sake.